What's wrong?
Internet.
Bothering you?
Yeah.
People on the internet? Or
people
just...
on the internet are bothering me.
Okay.
Ugh.
So it's a normal Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. All I was doing was I was on a fan site.
All right.
For our podcast.
Okay. I have to admit that I've been on that site.
And I was typing in, hey, great job, guys, because I like to AstroTurf it.
Sure. Why not?
As they say. And then other people were like, oh, that's not great. Oh, what do you know about movies? Oh, you guys are, you don't even, for the first 10 minutes, you don't even talk about movies. You know, what's wrong with you? And like, why don't you just go back to where you came? And I was like,
Where did you came?
I came from Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so just, yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bummed. Kind of out of sorts, if you will. All these people.
You're letting people get you down on the internet?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so here's what it's like. It's like I'm a fish.
Okay, you're a fish.
Thank you. And the people on the internet are in a boat.
Is it a fishing boat?
It's a fishing boat.
Not like a sailboat? Or
no, it's like a fishing boat.
What kind of horsepower engine are we talking?
Seven.
Seven horsepower engine.
Yeah. Is so that a lot?
No, it's pretty small.
Okay.
So probably like they're going to just be trolling along.
I think they will. Yeah.
Well, what are we talking about in length here? 12 footer?
Also seven.
Seven? 7x7?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So so it's a shallow fishing boat, probably has a Bassmaster rig on it, and I'm guessing it's made of alloy.
Yeah.
It's very important for me to understand this analogy.
Yeah. Well, so they're in this boat, and then they throw out a line, and it's got...
What kind of line is it?
It's 10 pound.
Okay. That's pretty good. I mean, that'll handle most of your small game fish in the Midwest. So I'm assuming we're like in Minnesota or Wisconsin or Michigan.
Yeah. We're in like a freshwater lake.
Okay.
And we're just... They're looking for bluegill.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for smallmouth.
Some perch, maybe.
They're looking for a little walleye.
Walleye, yeah. That depends on the time of day, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. This is okay. These are the things that they're looking for, and I'm a fish.
You're a fish. Know? They threw a line out.
It's got a little bait on it.
What kind of fish are you?
They're baiting me. I'm a catfish.
I had thought largemouth. Okay.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Continue your analogy.
I thought catfish, you know, because I'm very clean.
Because you regularly fool people into thinking that you're someone else.
Yeah, yeah. That's a fun thing to do on the internet.
Yeah.
And then they bait the hook, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to take that bait.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it. And it turns out they're just trolling for me.
Yeah, just trolling.
I'm just trolling. It's really disappointing. I'm thinking about just getting off the internet altogether.
You're going to get off the internet. The trolls have forced you off the internet.
The trolls are like, it's like they, I can't see the forest for the trolls.
They tell you not to feed the trolls, but in this analogy, the trolls are feeding you.
Well, the trolls are like, well, they bait you.
Oh, I see.
And then
you biting onto their feed.
Yeah.
Is you feeding them.
Right. Well, and
because
then
they'll catch you and they'll fillet you.
Like, yeah, they got to clean.
Right.
And then they got to
They'll probably bread
the
you, maybe put on a spice rub.
Yeah. You know, the spice rub would go really well with me.
Yeah. And then they serve you up with a basket of fries or, you know, maybe just on its own. Just pure Dean.
I'm sure it'll be a little lemon.
Sure. Or it goes well with whitefish.
Yeah.
You're a whitefish, obviously.
Clearly.
So the trolls have baited you. You've taken the bait.
You fed the
trolls.
Yeah.
Heartily, I suppose.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of meat on my bones, but I like to think I make a good meal.
And then that has caused you to retire from the internet.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not probably the first person to point out that you've retired from things before only to return to them.
I'm a serial quitter.
Fair enough. Serial quitter. Which cereals did you quit?
Life.
couldn't get your kicks?
Nope.
Yeah. Let's not take that any further. So Captain Crunch, you're a captain in this scenario. No, I'm just kidding. I just don't think that's right. I don't think you should give in to the trolls. I don't think that.
What am I supposed to do? Not bite the worm in front of me?
I get it. I mean, they're trolls. They're trolling for you. They know just what kind of bait you like.
Yeah.
They're gonna put it right along the bottom because you're a bottom feeder.
Yeah.
And you're gonna go, well, this is better than this plankton and other things that I've been eating.
Yeah. Well, the plankton's like good for me, but it doesn't titillate the senses.
Doesn't satisfy on that base fish level.
Yeah.
That you're looking for.
Yeah.
So you're gonna quit. So what are you gonna do?
I'm just gonna start writing things on paper instead, and then just posting them on bulletin boards.
That sounds like that sounds very hipstery of you. I could see that as being a very hip thing to do.
I'll be like, I really like the Prime Flix podcast. They're really good. And then I'll just take it to the local coffee shop, and I won't buy anything.
Yeah.
And I'll use their internet for a while to just not use it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll open up my laptop, connect, and then just sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
And take up space.
Right.
And then because I've retired from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take a piece of paper and I'll write, I really like Prime Flix podcast. And then I'll attach it to the bulletin board. And then I'll walk out, leaving a large mess at my table of crumpled up papers and things, and not pay them any money. And I think that's a good existence for me.
It's interesting because you say you're a catfish, but you sound like a leech.
Hmm. I can see where you might get that impression.
So why in this scenario are you the prey? Why not turn it around? Why don't you become the fisherman, or maybe more appropriately the hunter of these trolls?
Okay. Well, let me tell you, it is because I don't have the constitution
in front of you. You can look that up on the internet if you hadn't given up the internet.
Yes, that is part of the problem.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Right. I can't recite that on command. So what am I going to do? How am I going to hunt without my entire, national being behind me?
How far can you cite the Constitution? Let's go. Put it on the clock right now.
We, the people of the United States... being of sound mind and
clear hearts,
relatively newly incorporated body,
can't lose.
We do hereby constitute this as a nation, and forthwith shall be preambled to the rest of this document.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people think it's kind of an outdated document. It's a little bit dry.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, why not reconstitute it?
Yeah, let's reconstitute the Constitution.
Yeah. Let's just add a little water.
A little water.
Exactly. Just like it's a bouillon cube of patriotism.
You know what you can do sometimes? Like if you're making something like a constitution, and it is going to be a little dry, but you also want a little sweetness in there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of water, you might add applesauce.
Ooh, that's an interesting substitution to the constitution.
I like to think of it as an amendment.
Okay,
I'm amending the constitution by adding a little applesauce.
And you know, here's the thing: like any good recipe, the constitution is made up of many parts, amendments, things like that.
Yeah.
But don't overcomplicate. Why so many amendments?
No,
you're spoiling the soup. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Why do we need an amendment so that Congress can vote themselves raises? Why do we need that?
And why does it, why does it have to, it's a living document.
It is a living document. Well, until you try to eat it and then you kind of kill it.
Right. So. Yeah,
you don't want to eat a live document. I mean, you want it live right up until you eat it.
It's freshest it's that way.
Yeah, way more fresh.
Yeah. You don't even have to reconstitute it at that part. No. At that point.
No.
But if it's been gone for a while and it dries out in the sun, you might need to add to that.
Absolutely. Well, and you don't know how to preserve it. Like, there's not a lot you can do. They have it behind, like, glass.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that helps, kind of air sealed. But you don't want to add salt to it.
No.
You don't want to put it in a dehydrator.
Right.
Because then you definitely need to reconstitute it.
Exactly. Who wants Constitution jerky?
Yeah. Yeah. Constitution jerky, by the way, is the campaign slogan of Ron Paul, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was my first solo album, Constitution Jerky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was good.
I thought so. It was just popular songs that were mashed up with the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there were 50 tracks. Mm. And actually, most when I say
state,
popular songs,
is that kind of your idea there,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Sure.
This is what I was thinking in my creative process. One, people love popular music.
That is not wrong.
By definition,
that's why it's popular.
Two, people love the Constitution in the United States. These United States of America.
These United States of America.
These ones.
Yeah, with whom we hold forth with to and fro to be forever bound in this holy matrimony.
Right, and we are pretty certain there's 50 states.
I mean, for now.
Yeah, and probably as many cards, if not more, in a deck of cards.
At least.
House of Cards is a show on television about politics.
About politics, about the government.
And here I'm thinking, popular music, Constitution, America, national anthem. Okay, easy. I used to recite it every morning. I still do sometimes.
Yeah.
In times of trouble.
Yeah.
I just figure, let it be.
Yeah.
And then I thought, popular music, who's more popular than the Jerky Boys? And so I took every single song they've ever had. Consequently, they have 50 songs.
Oh, well, there you go. That works out because you already had a plan. You already had slots for 50.
I did. And so perfect marriage.
Hmm.
Yep.
Hmm. A more perfect union, you might say.
You might. I don't know if I would, but you might.
Yeah. Well, I think that's self-evident.
I'll hold that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So trolls.
Internet trolls.
You know, I've had my share of trolls.
I think I've been them.
You have trolled me occasionally.
Yeah.
Most recently on this podcast.
Well, it's the easiest place to do it.
Yeah. It's interesting that clickbait is a thing that draws trolls.
Mm.
If you think about it.
Yeah.
Because if you click on a clickbait article.
Mm-hmm.
The comments are just full of trolls.
They're just like, "Raw, I hate everything. Welcome to America, where we speak Americanese."
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's actually, if you were to use a text-to-speech program, that's what it would sound like if you had to read the comment section.
I think so. Siri is like, you're like, "Hey, Siri, bleep, bleep, you know, read me the comment section." And it would go, "Absolutely, here are the comments. Here are the comments." It has bad grammar.
Mm-hmm.
"Here are the comments." And then it's like, "America."
How awesome it would be if it was just like unintelligible gibberish.
Yeah, I can
sort of like
I
in captions when you watch a movie.
Well, I mean, when these people are commenting, oftentimes they misspell.
That's true. And that's hard for Siri. It's hard for me, but it's especially hard for Siri.
Yeah. I once knew a wizard who misspelled.
Sounds like a terrible situation.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst thing. Wizarding 101.
Yeah, you got to spell correctly.
You cannot misspell things.
Yep.
Even, especially on official wizarding documentation.
Sure.
Because then maybe it turns into a will, and you've accidentally willed all of your stuff over to this woman at the DMV.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what the problem was?
The Department of Moving Volcanoes. It's a place wizards have to go.
That's a huge... There's a line and it moves slowly but surely, much like lava.
Yeah, it just sort of creeps. Yeah.
You know
along.
What the problem is? That wizard just didn't have the constitution that it took.
That's right. And it all comes back around because
mm-hmm.
time is a flat circle. Trolls.
Trolls.
Have you watched many troll movies?
I've watched two of them.
Yeah? Troll 1 and Troll 2?
Nope, neither of those.
Oh. Which ones did you watch?
I watched The Box Trolls.
Oh, that's a troll movie.
Yep.
And what was the other one?
The Troll Hunter.
The Troll Hunter?
Well, I think in the original Norwegian,
yeah,
it would be like the Troll Hunter, but as it's moved across the pond, it's lost a few letters.
It's lost so the article.
Mm-hmm. Much like the United States dumped the Articles of Confederation,
the first of many,
yeah,
articles. So, what'd you think of Box Trolls?
I saw it.
It was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Did you see any of the other movies that were nominated when Box Trolls was nominated?
I don't know what else was nominated. Oh, let's get Tim on it.
Big Hero 6.
Oh, I did see Big Hero 6.
How to Train Your Dragon 2.
I didn't see How to Train Your Dragon 2.
There was another one that was in Akira Kurosawa. Not Kurosawa.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Guy who did Spirited Away.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Hideo... I'm just going to make up a name, so yeah, I'm not going to...
Yeah, don't
Miyazaki,
do that.
Miyazaki.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't know if his first name is Hideo, but I think it's just... He's like Cher. You just know him as one yeah. name. Because I think that was maybe his last... It was going to be his last production.
Mm-hmm. That was the story.
Then there was another one that was an Irish Song of the Sea or something like that, I think was the other one.
Okay.
I pay more attention to the animated Oscars than I do sometimes the rest of the Oscars because I just like animation.
Yeah, how do you feel about this style of animation? Because most things being animated now,
yeah,
are computer three-dimensional models.
And this one, I learned from some people who were in the know the other day.
Oh,
you were there, but maybe you hadn't been there when we had this discussion. But they told me that this is the first claymation movie, of which some of this is claymation, has the most CGI of any claymation film yet to be made.
Oh, really?
That they did use CGI for a lot of it.
Which parts?
A lot of the backgrounds, I guess, and then also
their eyes. Are their eyes CGI?
They're pretty shiny. Say. Yeah, I mean they use it to. And this is actually what they did in Mad Max 2, the Road Warrior, mm-hmm. where they take they use it to sort of dress up the practical stuff. So like,
makes sense.
You have an actual animated thing, but you use the CGI to maybe add some extra highlights or whatever.
They've been doing that for years.
Yeah, there's some I think that some of the stuff here might have been particularly hard to do with claymation, and I'm not an expert, but I think the guy's lip swelling up and stuff when he ate the cheese, I think that some of that was computer animated.
Okay,
because it's just
like the transition.
Yeah, the transitioning.
It, yeah,
yeah. It would have seemed different. It would have appeared different had they done it with traditional. It would have been more like choppy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about claymation as opposed to CGI. I know that there are purists who go, claymation is harder. It's like, it
seems a lot harder.
Yeah. Oh, I think it is. I mean, even with the, probably the modern efficiencies that they didn't have when they used to do it before, it's still hard.
Yeah.
It works really well for things like Chicken Run or Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
This particular movie,
I don't know. This is more grotesque than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know that it seems to add, it's like another character in the movie
mm-hmm.
a little bit. This one, maybe because of the use of CGI, I don't know. It just didn't seem as necessary. Like, I could have just as easily watched this in mostly CGI and not really thought much of it.
Yeah, or the CGI done in the style of clay animation.
Right. I do like that this one...
What do they call it? Stop motion?
Stop motion animation. Yep. I do like that this one... it was grotesque, but it wasn't on the level... Like, to me right now, it feels like and I know I say this knowing full well that there's Shaun of the Sheep coming out in like August or Shaun of the Sheep. So there are other stop motion animation movies out there, but it feels like in the last 10 years, the only stop motion animated movies that have come out have been from Tim Burton. And so I like,
well, Wallace and Gromit.
Well, right, right. So Aardman's been doing some, you know, if they managed to make their way across the pond, you know, they
right.
You know, cause they didn't like,
I mean, they did win an Oscar.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
When watching this movie, perhaps because it was grotesque, perhaps because it was at least partially claymation, stop motion animation, it felt like a Tim Burton movie to me.
I thought so too. I thought it was, it had that sort of whole world like icky view. Not that that's a bad thing, just that did seem, it seemed similar in that style.
Yeah. I think the basic story is a good one for kids.
I thought it was kind of boring.
I think if for an adult it is. I thought
there was like too much happening. There were too many themes that they were trying to weave in and out.
Okay, let's list them.
So class.
Yep.
That's a big one. Nature versus nurture.
Yep.
That's a big one. Race.
True.
Embracing like differences, which I guess is kind of fits
part and
all
parcel
of
those others. Yeah.
It just seemed like there was a lot going on. Oh, there's also like family stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, with his father, and Fish, mm-hmm. being his
surrogate
father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good versus evil was a big theme wherein, you know, the bad guys don't know that they're bad guys,
mm-hmm.
which I actually really liked that one.
I loved that there was the constant meta. Are we the good guys here? Like I did enjoy that little addition, I'm sure, to the script of, you know, them considering their actions.
It's not that you can't make a movie with all of those. I just felt like in this particular case, it kind of was like, all over the place. I felt like they didn't really hone in what they wanted.
Like pick a couple of themes or storylines and kind of stick with those.
Yeah.
The most interesting character from that perspective of consistency is the bad guy, I think.
Which one? The main?
Are you counting the
henchmen?
Oh, yeah, no, I meant the guy leading the henchmen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the henchmen are begrudgingly, like, they're almost exonerated of their sins because,
absolutely.
You know, they're aware of, you know, they're conflicted, but they're not, you know, the bad guy, there's some interesting things about him. Obviously, he just yearns for acceptance, and he wants the status that he feels other people have.
Status. I think it's less acceptance. I don't think he cares about being accepted. He just wants to be lauded.
Right. And, you know, wants it despite the fact. He wants to sit at this, you know, this council of elites and eat cheese, even though he's highly allergic to cheese. And
yeah.
What I was trying to figure out was they're trying to play him slightly sympathetic, right? That you understand his motivations are just driven by the fact that he wants this status, and it's kind of like pathetic, you know, and so you kind of feel sympathy for him. And I wondered about that portrayal as a writing choice with the father, the biological father of the kid, because in the story you're led to believe that this guy murdered this guy's father.
Yeah.
And that's why the box troll saved him.
Yep.
And the father was a fan of the box trolls, and it turns out that the father didn't actually die. He's just been kept in captivity, just like the box trolls, who you think also were, you know, going to die.
Right, right, when they got captured.
Right. And so if you think about it purely from the perspective of the motivations of the bad guy, he has to keep the box trolls alive to build his machine.
Yes.
And then he's going to kill them. He tries to kill them.
Right.
He keeps the father alive, presumably for like 10 years in captivity.
I would think
for
because
no apparent
he's
reason.
Like the, well, because the father refused to build some contraption for him.
Yeah.
Which was why he was captured.
Yes.
And I think it was because he's like the principal engineer on the project.
So you think that he was still, despite his madness, like the person who came up with the design, and the box trolls just built it.
Okay. Yes.
That makes more sense. What I was thinking was that they were trying to do that kids movie thing where no one really dies, and mm-hmm. and that you could be more sympathetic to the bad guy if he hadn't actually killed the father.
Yeah, if he just kept him in his basement for
which. Hard to say, which, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Buffalo Bill kept people in the basement, too. I don't know how sympathetic he was as a character.
Yeah. Not so much.
So.
Oh, is she a great big fat person?
No, I'm going to go that. Anyway, well, I don't know. This is the kind of movie that I would want my kids to see, but I don't think I as a person would really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really. The whole last act, the battle, mm-hmm. just went on and on and on. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were like two or three different beats where I thought, oh, okay, now it's over. And then he's like, oh, but now I have the machine. And then, oh, okay, now it's over. And then he's like, oh, but now I've taken this bratty little girl captive.
Yeah.
And then I thought they were going to like just immediately free her. And instead, he like makes them sit down and eat the cheese with him, and then it's his own, you know, it's his hubris that undoes him, which sure. I guess is, you know, is not a bad way to go. Mm-hmm. Greeks have been doing it for years.
Yep.
But I just I don't
Frankenstein,
know,
it kept et cetera. Going. It's it an archetype.
Going. Yeah.
Archetypal story, whatever. Common theme. Yeah, I don't know. I think from a technical standpoint, it probably got its accolade from the technical side.
Oh, man, it's quite an achievement.
Yeah.
Quite an achievement. Well, and they have, I don't know if you watched through the credits, there's a little bit at the while the credits are rolling kind of at the end where they show the two good henchmen, mm-hmm. The two nice henchmen like talking, and they're talking about how difficult it is to get them to move and talk and stuff. And while they're doing that, you see it's a time lapse of, so from their perspective, they're just animated. And then, there's also a time lapse of the animator working on them.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. So you see like him change like clothes like 15 times just to get this little scene in for them to talk about how difficult it is for, you know, just to move an eyelid,
right,
or whatever. Yeah, it, and to me that was like, wow, that's really impressive. That like it must have taken years and years to put this movie together.
And you can see why people who do that look down on things like computer animation, because it's like a shortcut.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, no, this is hard. This is like, but you'd think that in having all of that time to work on it, you'd have time to revise the script and make a better movie.
Well, but maybe not, because you're going, well, we already have it.
Sure.
We, like, the only way forward is to continue, you
right.
know, like, we already have the script. But I would have hoped that they would have done a little more work on it ahead of time. I don't know. It just the whole time watching it, I was like, I don't know if I should care that much. Mm-hmm. It didn't have that. Pixar is not fair.
Yeah,
it's not fair to compare other children's movies to Pixar, because they just they're the industry leader.
They're a behemoth.
Yeah,
like they have not only the best writers, but they have the best animators. The best, like that's the, and they're like monstrously larger than anyone who could hope to compete with them, especially because they have Disney's money behind them.
Right. But what I will say is that they have something magic in the scripts that they write.
It's true.
Where as an adult, it can hold my attention. And I felt like that was the missing element here, was that there, it just wasn't that, maybe the stakes weren't high enough, or, I mean, presumably the stakes would be really high.
Yeah.
You know, but it had a lot of elements I liked.
Right.
You know, but it just didn't come together to create this sort of stew that I would eat.
Pixar has the ability to world build that most animated features trim out.
Yeah.
They world build without...
There was some attempt at that here.
There was, but not on the same level of Pixar. Like, Pixar, everything that's happening from establishing shots to set decoration and everything in there... I mean, I'm saying this, I know it's animated, but, you know, posters on the wall and all these kinds of things. Like, you can go through a Pixar movie and just spot hundreds and hundreds of references and things that build the world. So you're like, oh, well, I'm now in a world where there are monsters that go through doors to scare kids at night. Like, that's a thing. Yep. And they have a believable society where these monsters live and go to work every day, and they have lives outside of it. And like,
right.
Like this,
I
mean, one,
this is a terrific, terrific description of Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it's great. If you haven't seen it, it's really terrifying.
Yeah.
So I think that they tried that here, but in rightfully so, they didn't need to, because they're not building a full world where they're basically taking a world that exists and they're adding one element to it.
Yeah.
And
then we didn't even see that much of that element.
No.
That's what I wanted to know more of. And that's what I thought I actually got kind of excited when I saw the previews for this, because I was like, oh, it's this interesting, like, this interesting world where these trolls live. But it really was much more about being on the surface than in Trollville.
Right. And you can imagine how you could set up more of a mystery from the start about the box trolls to the viewer.
Yeah.
You know from the start they're good. Like, you have no question of that. Whereas what you could do is you could set up situations in which they're doing relatively mundane things by their reckoning, and they have a little bit of this, but it's after you already know they're good, and you see them scare people and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, you could present them as, this is kind of what Monsters, Inc. did, actually, where you present them as kind of a scary thing, and then you look behind the curtain and you go, oh, wait,
They're not scary. Yeah, they're just regular guys.
Right. We're missing that, like, this thing that looks terrifying, and it's like kids... It's a perfect story for kids, because kids get frightened by shadows and things at night,
mm-hmm.
when you just turn on the light and you see it's a coat rack.
Yeah.
You know, and like, it's a perfect analogy that, like, these things that you think at night are terrifying are not. They're just, you know, but they didn't do that. And I, like, it's like they went right into, like, okay, there's these box trolls. People hate them. They think they do all these horrible things. Go. You know, and I was just like, I don't know. I just wanted more. I mean, even like the little bits of world building that I got, I enjoyed, like, the fact that they name themselves based on whatever their box is.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Well,
in the
socks and eggs, and
seeing them like gather to sleep,
mm-hmm.
is cool. And
they sleep in a pallet, basically.
Yeah. I wanted to see, like, they're supposedly these great builders, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to see, like, more of them building stuff.
Right. Yeah. You could just set up a scene where they automatically construct something really crazy, and you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, or something crazy that is, like, necessary.
Right.
You know, maybe they're... Because I think that would be, like, a great way for them to integrate into the society. Maybe the society has some sort of issue. I know we're rewriting this, but...
Why not?
They deserve it.
Structural or otherwise.
The society has some sort of issue that needs some engineering skill, and the box trolls are down there just using, like... Like, whatever
they're
find
MacGyvering
around.
Everything.
And, just ringing up, you know, something amazing that makes the town work, and then they have to come together and, like, oh, they're not monsters. They're great engineers. Oh, wonderful. Let's let's all share a society rather than, you know.
So whatever. It's good.
I mean, yeah, it was fine. I think kids would probably like it if they're into that sort of grotesque thing. I did like that, like, the little girl, that was her thing. She was like, oh, I was really hoping that you guys were going to eat people.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah. Where are the baby bones?
Yeah. And it's cool to see that from a girl perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Although I hated that character.
Yeah. She was
awful.
Yeah. You're kind of supposed to feel for her because her father is absent, essentially.
Yeah. But she's like kind of an entitled prick.
Yeah.
Too. So.
It's true.
Didn't like it.
So the other one we watched was Troll Hunter.
We did.
We watched it together, which is something we don't usually do, because we've
not
established.
Often. Yeah.
We don't like each other.
We just, we happen to be in the same place, and it was on, and you're going to watch this. All right. Well, I'm going to watch it too. All right. Well, let's just watch it now.
Yep. And I've seen this movie. I saw it years ago.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remembered liking it a lot more then than I do now.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's insurmountable for me with this movie. Because it presents itself as though it's a horror movie, kind of, to start with. And then you sort of realize it's just like a world building like story about trolls. It's set in Norway. This film crew is from school. They're trying to document this guy who's supposedly poaching bears. And they keep following him around. And then they discover that he's actually a government paid secret troll hunter whose job is to keep trolls within certain territories so that they don't go out and kill tourists. And
hello, I am a troll hunter. It was kind of like how his whole deal. I am from the troll service.
TSS, Troll Security Service.
Troll Security Service.
I don't know what a Norwegian accent sounds like, but it's probably close. Mm-hmm. So it's presented as though it's found footage at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah. You know?
But it then immediately says written and directed by so-and-so.
Right.
So it's kind of going for like the found footage Blair Witch thing. So two things. One, let's just talk about the film in general. But two, I want to talk about found footage after we talk about the movie. So,
okay.
So I know you thought this went on for too long because I was there to witness you falling asleep.
It was kind of late at night anyway. But yeah, I was definitely falling asleep during the last act of this film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it went on along.
What did you think of it?
It was fine. Yeah. I thought that it was kind of a neat idea, and I liked sort of the mythology that they built up around these guys. But I thought it could have been so much more concise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a little slow because it was so so like stretched on.
I think its primary problem is the length, and I think that's part of the found footage problem with found footage movies.
Well, and they said at the beginning of the film, they said we found 286 minutes, and I was like, oh god, I hope this isn't 286 minutes long.
Yeah,
and they were like, don't worry, it's not. And I was like, oh okay. I
thought it was weird that little guy popped up on the screen and said that. That might have only been in our version of it, though.
Yeah.
I have two problems with found footage movies. One is that you can get away with lazy editing because you can just say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, this is just all the footage that we had.
Mm-hmm. This is all we could. We couldn't piece more of a story together.
Which can be used to make it shorter. You can cut out whole sections where you assume stuff happened and didn't, right? But it ends up being longer. Like if you went and you edited 20 minutes out of this movie, it would be a really good movie.
I agree. And not only that, but the way in which they use the found footage in this one, it sort of goes against the idea of found footage because they're actually a documentary film crew.
That's true too. It's not like they were just hiking and they had it on. Yeah, I agree with that. The other problem I have with found footage, and this is just an insurmountable problem about found footage, is that in order to make it a compelling movie, you have to frame shots and you have to do a certain amount of cinematography.
Yeah.
It makes sense if they're a documentary film crew that they would do that some of the time.
Yeah.
But times when they're not actually filming, there are times when they're just like hanging out in their bunk and it's still really well framed. My problem is that someone's always still hanging out of the camera, especially in horror found documentaries like Cloverfield is kind of like a monster horror version of this. Someone's always still picking up the camera and running with it. And you're like, if you're running from this monster, the camera's going to be like the last thing you think about. And not only that, but like if you're running with it, you're not going to have a perfectly framed shot of the people running in
Absolutely.
Front of you. So in
this particular case, you're in the woods most of the time.
Yeah.
So you're going to run into shit.
Right. I was trying to look at, and they did do a little bit. They cracked the lens at one point. They did a couple things that I thought were nice touches. I looked for this moment in this one, and I'm happy to say I couldn't find it. But inevitably in found footage movies where it's supposedly all shot, there's an impossible shot. There's a shot that like no one was taking that. So the one I'm thinking of is, did you ever see End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Nope.
Okay. So it's a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal, and I think Michael Pena is his like sidekick.
That's correct.
And it's found footage. The story behind it is that Jake Gyllenhaal is like going to school at night to take this videography class, and he has to do a project for his class. So he brings a camera along with him when they're like on their police things, and it's really effective in some of the scenes. You get like first eye views of what it would be like to like bust into a crack house and how terrifying that would be.
Yeah,
not knowing what's going on in there. But there's a scene where there's a transition shot between like them being in the precinct and like being in a car, where it's like on the bumper of a car. Like it's like you're looking at the grill of the truck as it's driving.
How is he able to do that?
Yeah, and you're like, if he's got this handheld camcorder, how's he doing that? I did not find a scene like that in this movie watching it this time. I watched it this time with that eye. So they did do a good job of making it, every shot seem like it could plausibly have been filmed by one of the crew.
Yeah. Well, and that guy, you never see that guy. You see him like once.
The camera guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. And if you are a documentarian, that's pretty much how you view your life, is through the end of a lens.
The camera.
So,
yeah.
So I got that as well. But
I thought that the Troll Hunter guy was great.
He was awesome.
I loved his performance.
He was the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
I think it was nice having the juxtaposition of these idiot kids
mm-hmm.
With him, but he was like a nice, fully formed character, you know, war-weary.
Yeah. There's even like a little hint of him having this relationship with his vet, you know, but they don't really explore that. They just like hint that it's there. I like that. I love the scene where he's trying to get the blood sample from the troll. Like, you get the sense he actually kind of cares about the trolls.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, he doesn't want to kill them if he doesn't have to, but, like, he will. And, you know, he begrudgingly puts on this, like, iron suit and tries to go down and take it. And then the troll just, like, you know, picks him up and slams him and tries to bite on him and everything. And, like, I don't know. I love it in a movie when they just immediately drop you in the mythology of it, and they're mm-hmm. just like, he's just like, oh, it's a ringle finch, get out of the way, you know, and it's like, what? And then he maybe later kind of says that again, like, oh, they're, you know, they tend to stay in the woods or whatever. I didn't ever feel like it was explaining itself. Like, some movies will explain the whole mythology to you before you experience it.
Yeah, which is silly.
Yeah. This one, you got some... You even have opportunities for that where they could be interviewing him, and he doesn't do too much of that because he's so tight-lipped. He doesn't really talk. So,
what do you think changed his mind? That part really bothered me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because now watching it the second time, I thought in the first time that he basically said something about being fed up with the fact that they're keeping it from people. Like, I totally thought...
He did eventually say something along those lines, but it wasn't...
I didn't remember,
It was such a quick turn for him to say, okay, I'll do this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean...
But it's like an hour into the film by the time he says that.
Right, and he's already been having them come along with him at that point. So I don't know. I think that it could have been... They could have established that better.
Yeah.
Maybe shown the precipitating events, or he could have talked about them, or, you know, he did say that he once had to go, like, kill a ton of the trolls, right? Like, mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you don't want to go into troll territory. Why do you not want to? And he said, well, I once went in and murdered, like, a whole, like, bunch of trolls, including, like, pregnant female trolls and baby trolls. And so you kind of wonder if, like, oh, is he fed up with doing this job? Like, does he feel like they're not actually conserving them? Like, they're treated like a species.
It's like deer,
right? It's, you know, he's got a they're not trying to obliterate them, they're just trying to keep them you know,
from harming
people.
I just control their population.
There's enough little like clever things in it that I love the part where they hold up the transparency to see the formation of the rocks. as a way of telling if the trolls were there throwing rocks at each other.
Yes.
Because the rocks haven't moved.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because it's something that, like, people wouldn't notice. Like, that's the key. If you're going to talk about a demon or a ghoul or something that no one ever sees and should, you have to establish why no one ever sees them.
Yep.
And, like, if they just kill random tourists, like, tourists disappear, like, on hiking trips all the time. So, whatever. Yeah, that makes sense. They keep to themselves most of the time. You know, when they do fight, they fight with, they eat rocks, like they don't, you know, whatever. So I don't know. I did like all of that part, but like I said, it is a long movie.
Yeah, even that whole thing at the end where they're like kind of in the troll territory and they're like in the snow and the trolls are attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was already checked out.
Yeah,
I was already done.
Yeah,
I was having trouble staying awake,
mm-hmm.
so I could have missed like an important thing. But I was kind of like done. It could have been like you can lop off that whole section of the movie, I think, and then just make the found footage part earlier.
Yeah,
you know, the end of the found footage just earlier. You know, in any of the trolls that they actually hunt.
Yeah, they kind of the culmination of so one he sort of telegraphs that this Jotnar is going to be like that the Jotnar troll is like the biggest troll.
Right.
And that he's only ever seen one once, and you know, so you're like, okay, smoking gun, like that's coming back later.
Yep.
But then then you get the explanation for why the trolls are acting the way they are, that this one that he takes down at the end is the one that's infected all the rest of them. And so you get that, and then you get the reveal that the trolls have rabies, and so this guy who got injured in the very first time they ran into a troll has rabies and has had it for like probably a couple days or a week at that point. So like, I agree. I feel like they could have I don't know. If you go really too far into it, it's like, okay, well, this is the biggest troll. So if he's giving rabies to the other trolls, wouldn't he just like destroy those other trolls or eat them or something? Like he's so massive, he could just swallow one of them. Like, I don't know how he's somehow subtly infecting them. But it just kind of, they were building toward a big ending, you know? And it was cool. I like to watch that part. It was kind of like watching Jurassic Park.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the key. Maybe you keep the ending, but there's like, because they meet like four different like
trolls, species of troll,
like four different like encounters.
Yeah,
maybe you cut out one of the middle ones,
right?
You know, because the first one you need, because then you're like, oh wow, these are actually trolls. They really exist.
Yep.
The last one you need, because that's the climax.
Right.
The middle one, or the middle one or two, like they should be relatively short, and they should move the story forward.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like they necessarily did move the story forward, except that you did get the National Forest Service or National Wildlife Service guy to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of talk a little bit about that.
They could have eliminated the third troll encounter, where they encountered a bunch of them in the cave.
Yeah.
I mean, they were building up the whole joke about one of them being a Christian, and
it right.
being like, so that was the culmination of that when they kill their cameraman. But if you think about that scene, other than killing the cameraman and finishing that joke, it didn't move the story forward.
Precisely.
Right. So like they could have gotten rid of that. They could have killed him in the second encounter, the cameraman.
They almost did.
And they could have, and then they just have one of, like, the guy or the girl picks up the camera, and they're, like, they're not waiting for another person to show up to film it.
Right.
I mean, there are some funny jokes there, right? Like, the girl's a Muslim, and they're like, does that matter? He's like, I have no idea. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
So, I think that was a funny thing, but yeah, it just felt like, at that point it prolonged it, where it's like, oh God, they got another camera person,
you
know, like, cause that's not what a rational person would really do at that point. They'd be like, God, we lost our friend. You know, maybe we should stop doing this, stop following this guy. So, you know, that was kind of difficult for me. I like the guy and the girl. like just mugged for the camera the whole time.
All the time. Yeah. It, well, that's the thing that kind of makes this work is that because the CGI isn't great either. It's fine, but it's not great. And so what you end up having, like, if you take it too seriously, everything's going to look terrible.
Yeah.
So, but you have to have, the main hunter guy take it pretty seriously. Mm-hmm. And then the other people can be kind of like comic relief, I guess is a way to put it. But it's less about like jokes and it's more about just like, I don't know, sort of character humor. They're just like, because they're idiots, you know. I really thought that that was a key element to making this all work, and I thought they did it pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. So that was
It was the good troll hunters. They hunted the trolls, you know, down there in the whole troll areas.
So it's funny. I don't know what language they were speaking. This takes place in Norway. I don't know what, you know, if it was Norwegian or what the language they were speaking was. But I do think it's funny in foreign movies. I try to listen. Even though I'm reading, I try to listen a little bit to the language. And it's funny how a lot of their words sound kind of just like English.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like... It's the same word sort of in English or same kind of sound. So you get, and like, I think like bear was like Buren or something like that. So you just hear like Buren all the time. And so eventually you kind of, and there was like they were talking about the government and they were saying like Staten, you know, and I was like, oh, it's like, they're just saying the state, you know, but, that it's interesting. Like I actually watched, a movie, with some people who were, native Spanish speakers. I was watching Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
And I think Pan's Labyrinth might be in Portuguese. I don't know if it's in Spanish or Portuguese, but they were talking afterwards. They're like, did you notice that they weren't captioning a lot of the swear words in it? And I was like, oh that's really interesting. Yeah. That's like interesting. Like because they have to make some decisions and you know, they translate things certain ways and you know, some words might not translate or whatever, but it's interesting that sometimes jokes or words that could be pretty impactful are just removed and you don't know as someone who's not, you know. So, I don't know. And I always find that interesting with foreign films. But.
Yeah, it would be the same thing like if you were to translate. There's been a thing in the news about Seinfeld. And that it doesn't really translate well into other languages.
I heard that. Yeah.
And it's all because it's
you can't make lots of Nazi jokes in the German
version.
Well,
that too.
Yeah.
But it's like wordplay and stuff. You know, so much of that show is about how they're saying what they're saying.
And, right.
You know, yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know. It was two troll movies, which... I felt pretty middling about. I don't mind Troll Hunter, but meh.
Neither of these hold a candle to Troll 2, let's just say that.
Well, no. I mean, that's the finest troll movie there is.
Exactly.
And I say that without having seen it.
And I mean, I think it's pretty obvious to everyone else who's listening at this point, but we picked Trolls because of the 4th of July.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if you caught that whole part at the beginning about the Constitution. And
The Constitution. What you'll see is that you'll go out to your local fairground, and you'll be like, ah, America, the beautiful. And then someone will go, it's the best place in the world, man, and you better recognize it. And you're like, oh, you're just trolling me.
We are nothing if not a country of trolls.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. And I often spend my 4th of July under bridge. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're from under the bridge.
Yeah.
We are trolls in our native land.
Yeah.
Look it up.
You'll find it.
So if you have an opinion about these movies, please let us know.
Yeah. Because we're not the only people with opinions. Most people have them.
We've heard that they're like another part of your body. Everybody has them.
They're like the ubiquitous, which is that part that hangs down behind your tongue.
Everybody's got it.
Yeah.
And we'd like to hear from you. Go to our website, primeflixpod.com, record an audio message, go to iTunes, write us a review.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
you go to iTunes, you write a review, and suddenly people are like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, PrimeFlix.
I'll check this
out. Oh, they're PrimeFlix.
I heard
that's
some.
How they say it in Norway.
I heard some. Let's say middle of the road feedback from my half cast last time.
Oh yeah.
But the person in question has yet to formally register these opinions through one of our many channels, and so I'm not formally recognizing those opinions just yet.
They must be documented.
Exactly. Through one of the channels we mentioned.
Yeah.
Audio review, iTunes review, Facebook,
email.
Twitter, email, feedback at primeflixpod.com. Any of those places, you will get at least some of our attention.
Yeah, and we'll probably read them.
Probably. Well, that has been a good 4th of July podcast.
Man. Enjoy yourselves, in the fine tradition. Just make fun of other people you don't understand. That's
the American way.
The American way.
And I've been Ed.
And I'm always Dean.
And we will see you on the internet. Well, Dean won't see you on the internet. He's decided to actually.
Yeah, I'm retiring from the internet.
Right, but he'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back, but only in the sense that I will be probably not that back.
Right. So when he comes back, don't troll him. We don't want to lose him again.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we've said all there is to say.
Tim, there we go. Thank you. I was getting tired of stalling for him to get that music going.
I don't know. He was like, oh, the mute button's on. I'm like, turn it off.
Tim, why are you muting it? What are you doing? Are you playing Words with Friends over there?
Yeah.
Is that a thing people still do?
Tim doesn't have friends.
Right. Happy 4th of July, Tim.